We're tackling a really heavy topic in this deep dive, but it's one that we need to understand: the long-lasting effects of sexual abuse by priests. It's about going beyond just the headlines and grappling with the profound and lifelong impact on survivors.
Absolutely.
We're using an excerpt from Wolves in Cassocks as our guide. And while this isn't easy stuff to hear, I think you'll find, as I did, that even without a personal connection, understanding the ripple effects here, well, it matters deeply.
Yeah, it really does.
One of the things that really struck me early on in this excerpt was how far beyond the initial trauma it goes. I mean, we expect the depression and the anxiety, the PTSD, but Wolves in Cassocks goes into the physical scars of this kind of abuse too. Things that I'd never really connected before.
What's fascinating, and I mean fascinating in a tragic sense here, of course, is how deeply trauma can embed itself in the body. It's not just a mental thing, an emotional experience. It's physiological.
So it's more than just, like, stress giving you an ulcer.
Uh-huh.
Are we talking about real long-term health impacts here?
We are. Think about that gut-brain connection everyone's always talking about. Wolves in Cassocks even mentions higher rates of IBS and other digestive issues in survivors. Makes sense when you think about how chronic stress just floods the body with cortisol, how it puts the nervous system on high alert all the time. The gut, well, it has its own really intricate network of nerves, so of course it would be deeply affected.
That's actually a good segue into something else that really jumped out at me.
Mm-hmm.
The link between sexual abuse and higher obesity rates later in life. I have to admit, my first thought was, wait, what's the connection? But the excerpt talked about the coping mechanisms involved. Can you unpack that a little?
Of course. Try to imagine this. You're experiencing profound emotional pain. There's a loss of control, a sudden feeling that the world's not safe. What happens? Food, it becomes this source of comfort, a way to numb out those really difficult feelings, even if it's just temporary.
It's almost like self-medicating, but with something that seems harmless, at least on the surface.
Exactly. And while these coping mechanisms are totally understandable, they can have really serious consequences for someone's physical health over time. Wolves in Cassocks really drives home the point that this isn't about willpower or making better choices. It's about recognizing the very real, very deep-seated trauma that's driving these behaviors.
It really underscores just how deeply this kind of abuse wounds. It's not just an isolated thing. It sets off this whole chain reaction.
Yeah.
And speaking of things being interconnected, we haven't even touched on what makes abuse by clergy so uniquely damaging
mm-hmm.
in a spiritual dimension. This isn't just some random person. This is someone who represents God, holiness.
Right. And it becomes this betrayal that strikes at the very core of a person's being. Wolves in Cassocks quotes survivors talking about their faith being shattered, saying their relationship with God is irrevocably changed. Can you imagine having your faith, something that should be a source of strength and solace, become so tainted?
There's this one line in here that just really hit me hard. It's like the foundation of my world crumbled and I'm still picking up the pieces. That says it all, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks volumes about the sheer depth of the betrayal.
It does, and it highlights that complex journey so many survivors find themselves on, trying to reconcile their faith with the horrific act that was perpetrated against them, often by someone they were taught to revere. That's a wound that cuts deeply on so many levels.
And it's not just the spiritual wound. Wolves in Cassocks really drives home how this impacts a survivor's entire life. You know, it's not a thing of the past. It's this weight they carry. Education, work, relationships, everything.
It is. Think back to those things we talked about before, the anxiety, the difficulty trusting, always being on edge. Now try to imagine going to a job interview, a first date, or even just having a casual conversation with those things, you know, always there under the surface.
Oh, yeah. It's like this invisible barrier. It makes it so much harder to connect with people, to trust, to move on.
It is. It's such a deep betrayal of trust. Ooh. And it can color everything. And the crazy thing is, the impact extends even further than that. Wolves in Cassocks talks about the societal costs as well. Think about the increased need for healthcare, the lost productivity, the ripple effects on families and communities. It's huge.
So not just individual suffering, we're talking about a collective toll.
Yeah.
It's almost too big to get your head around, really.
Exactly. But I do think, and it's easy to get lost in all the negative here, that it's so vital to remember that resilience exists. It really does. Wolves in Cassocks has a whole section on this, and while it doesn't shy away from the struggles, it highlights that the impact of abuse is different for everyone.
You know, I was going to ask you about that.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got to that part of the excerpt, it felt kind of out of place, I guess. Like, can we really talk about resilience when it comes to something this devastating?
I think it's a natural reaction, but the source makes a really important point. Resilience isn't about erasing the trauma. It's not about pretending it never happened. It's about finding ways to live a life that has meaning despite the pain. And what that looks like, it's going to be different for everyone.
So less about bouncing back and more about finding a way forward.
Yes, exactly. Wolves and Cassocks mentions one survivor who found comfort and even strength in becoming an advocate, fighting to protect children. He's not over what happened, but he's found a way to turn his pain into something good.
Wow,
that's really powerful. So I guess the takeaway here isn't that everyone's experience or their outcome is going to be the same, but that there is a spectrum.
Precisely. And the excerpt mentions that things like having a strong support system, having access to therapy, even just individual personality traits can play a role in how someone comes through something like this. Recognizing that it's different for everyone, even with something this difficult, is really essential.
It's like you said earlier, there's so much complexity within this topic, so much variation, even within the shared experience of abuse. And Wolves and Cassocks does touch on some paths to healing, but it also makes it clear that there's no quick fix, right?
Absolutely not. This isn't a physical wound that heals cleanly. The source talks about therapy, support groups, all crucial, but it also emphasizes the importance of trauma-informed care.
Okay, that's a term I've heard before, but honestly, I'm not sure I totally get it. What makes that kind of care different?
That's a great question because it gets at the heart of why traditional approaches often fall short. Trauma-informed care starts from the premise that the survivor's behaviors, their reactions, stem from a place of deep wounding. So instead of just addressing the symptoms, the anxiety, the depression, it focuses on rebuilding a sense of safety, of control.
So it's less about what's wrong with you and more about what happened to you.
Exactly. It recognizes the profound impact trauma has on the brain, the body, the spirit, and seeks to create a space where the survivor feels seen, heard, and believed. It's about empowering them to reclaim their narrative, their sense of self.
Which makes total sense when you think about how this specific type of abuse robs people of their agency, their trust, their very foundation.
Precisely. And that's why I find this deep dive so crucial. It's easy to read the headlines, feel a pang of sadness or anger, and then move on. But Wolves and Cassocks, even just this excerpt, forces us to confront the long-lasting consequences, the complexities of healing, the sheer scale of this issue.
It definitely makes you think twice about those headlines, that's for sure. And for me, it also sparks some bigger questions. The source focuses on individual impact, which is obviously essential. But I kept wondering about the larger implications. If institutions meant to be havens of faith can become breeding grounds for this kind of pain, what does that say about our systems of power, our ideas about forgiveness, maybe even the nature of faith itself?
Now, those are questions worth wrestling with.
Right. And on that note, we're going to leave you, our listener, to ponder those very questions.
Ew.
A huge thank you to Wolves and Cassocks for its unflinching look at this difficult reality, and to you for joining us on this heavy but essential deep dive.